Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello and welcome to Wednesday's podcast. Thank you for downloading today's episode on the 23rd of July. Coming up today, protesters have been out in Medway to challenge plans for 750 homes on the site of an orchard that council previously saved from development. And we've also heard from members of the Kent Youth County Council who want more political education in schools if there's going to be a change to the voting age. But first, taking a look at our top story today. A man in his 50s has died following a police incident which closed part of the M2. Liam's got more details for the Kent Online podcast.
Police were called to a section of the busy motorway between Strood and Chatham just before 5 this morning. They responded to the coastbound carriageway between junctions 1 and 3 following concerns for the welfare of a person. Officers closed the road for more than 3 hours. Paramedics were also at the scene. It's now been confirmed a man in his 50s has died. A spokesperson for the police told Kent Online the man's death is being treated as non-suspicious and a report is being prepared for the coroner.
Thanks, Liam. Now taking a look at another of our top stories today. A Gillingham man has been banned from driving for being a passenger in a stolen delivery van that rammed a police car. Lucy's been following this story for the podcast. She's with me now with some more details. Luce, this sounds like a bit of an unusual case. What can you tell me about it?
Well, a court heard Thomas Clark had been out drinking and had consumed more alcohol than usual when he accepted a lift from someone he knew. The van he got into was an Asda delivery vehicle that had been stolen by his friend on October 23rd last year when it had been stopped dropping off groceries in Gillingham. Clark says he did accept the ride against his better judgment and he tried to get out, but the van was fitted with central locking.
So what happened when officers caught up with them?
Officers spotted them in New Road in Rochester and were in pursuit when the driver reversed into the police car to try and stop them from following. The pursuit continued and the car was rammed a second and then a third time, all in all causing around £24,000 worth of damage to the patrol car. The Asda van also suffered £50,000 worth of damage. Eventually, a stinger was used to stop the van. That's when Clark got out and was chased down on foot. When officers caught up with him, he told them he was too old to be getting into this type of trouble.
And how was he sentenced?
So the 36-year-old from Milton Roads told the court he is the full-time carer for his mother who has dementia and that he no longer drinks regularly. This was taken into account for his sentencing and he was given a 12-month community order which includes 240 hours of unpaid work. He's also been ordered to pay more than £300 and he's been banned from driving for 12 months. The driver of the Asda van's already been convicted of the thefts and damaging the vehicles. He's awaiting sentencing at Maidstone Crown Court.
Thanks, Lucy.
Kent Online News.
It's been a slow commute for Kent drivers because of a police incident on the M2 this morning. The motorway was closed coastbound between the A2 at Strood and Junction 3 for Chatham. There have been long delays, but the road has now reopened. A man in his 30s has been injured after being attacked with a weapon at a nightclub in Rochester. He had to be taken to a London hospital following the assault in the smoking area of casino rooms in the early hours of Sunday. A 22-year-old man's been arrested and released on bail. Another suspect, who's 20, remains in custody. Now, the family of a man from Yalding say he's devastated after £50,000 worth of his late wife's jewellery was taken during a burglary. It happened in the Benover area on July the 4th while the 59-year-old was away. His son, Connor Boyle, has been speaking to reporter Davina Jethwa.
It's effectively all my mother's jewellery. Stuff from when we were children, you know, and other bits and bobs that have been kind of purchased for us over the years. But the bulk of it was my mother's jewellery. And that's obviously something. And as I said, she died about 4 or 5 years ago. And, you know, that's something they've collected. They were together, you know, I was born in 1991. They got married in 1994. I believe they were together for 10 years before that. So, you know, roughly like 1984. So we're together for a very long time. You know, that's jewelry that's been collected from different countries we've lived in, things like that. You know, there's a lot from Holland and all this kind of stuff. So extreme sentimental value for my father. I mean, slightly for me, you know, it's extremely unfortunate loss in terms of, you know, there's some items in there like my nan's mother's, so my dad's great grandmother's engagement ring. So things like that that, you know, in a perfect world, you'd want to try and keep in the family just because you get that line of, oh yeah, your great grandmother wore it. It'd be cool for, you know, potentially my future wife to wear it, at least initially. Or I'd force her whether she likes it or not, sort of thing. Like, you know, so there was stuff in there like that. The emotional impact for my father is significant. He's already disabled. He has a heart condition, so you know, if he doesn't sleep properly, he's already got bad blood pressure. That's going to increase his blood pressure, all that kind of stuff, you know. And it's just generally not the kind of response you expect. And then obviously the knock-on effect of not sleeping for a couple of weeks. He has a job, like a day job, things like that.
It's thought the thieves broke a window and then opened the back door to let accomplices in. Police say it's part of a wider spate of robberies and investigations are ongoing.
Kent Online News.
Friends and family of an Ashford woman undergoing a cancer battle are campaigning to have the routine breast screening age lowered. 42-year-old Tanya Heath was diagnosed in January and has since had major therapy and will start chemo next month. Her supporters say the screening age should be lowered from 50 to 40 to catch the disease earlier and reduce the need for aggressive treatments. A secondary school on Sheppey is now oversubscribed just a year after it was known as one of the most troubled schools in the county. Lee Academy took over the former Oasis Academy last September following staff walkouts and falling enrolment numbers. Demand is now so high they've created an additional class with space for 30 pupils. Bosses say the turnaround is down to consistency. Now, protesters have been outside a community consultation in Medway over plans for a 750-home development on an apple orchard. It comes 4 years after council knocked back 1,200 homes on the same site in Raynham. The land now forms part of their local plan. Isla Hewitt is a local resident.
Unfortunately, the council, Medway, appears to have done a U-turn. 4 years ago, they worked in unison with us in order to help stop a planning application from going through for 1,250 homes. They have now included the very same site in their local plan, which means it will be ripe for development if it is agreed upon by the government planning inspectorate. So we are here essentially fighting against that, saying this land should never be developed, it's far too valuable and it needs to be saved.
What is it about the land that is so precious?
It is classed as high-grade agricultural land, which we feel in the current climate really should be protected. Once it's gone forever. It's also a really important part of the landscape in this area of Raynham. It is surrounded in part by other houses and by small country lanes either side. It's a small area, a green buffer between between Raynham and Twiddle. Once that's gone, it will feel like all of those towns merged together, and it will highly impact the air quality of the local area and the infrastructure and the road networks.
Is it disappointing that you've had to come back here?
It's absolutely devastating. You know, we all have commitments, we all have families, and this takes a lot of time to come together as a community. And to have done it before and successfully won and to now be doing it again is hugely disappointing, and we feel very let down by the council. I think it's important to note as well, the council spent £250,000 in legal fees helping us defend the original planning application. So it feels like a waste of time and a waste of money, and we don't understand the reasons why they've changed them.
Former Gillingham and Raynham MP Raymond Chisty says he's shocked at the U-turn.
I am very much surprised to be back here. It's because the local authority last time opposed this. You know, I gave evidence to the planning inspectorate alongside Medway Council to say the proposals that we had, you know, for the Lower Raynham Road development, you know, on the orchards were, you know, unsustainable. You know, the infrastructure is not there. You speak to the residents all the way through over here, and you speak to local residents. I live down the road as well, so I see it every day when you go through the Lower Raynham Road. You see the congestion. You see the infrastructure. The plan's got to be sustainable. But putting up houses in this area, you know, without the infrastructure, is just unacceptable. And local authority have had long enough to come up with a plan which is sustainable. So I'm shocked, I'm disappointed, I'm dismayed that the local authority now want to, you know, build these houses here again, having had a previous inspector, you know, where Medway Council gave evidence to say the proposals for the 1,200 houses were unsustainable. So I'm shocked, disappointed, dismayed, but I want the local authority to do the right thing, to say, look, stand by what they said before. Building in this area with the lack of infrastructure is unsustainable. And on the wider side, I saw the local plan. There is no plan for a new hospital. There's nothing there. You're increasing population. You want to build more houses, but you're not putting the basic infrastructure. And if you ask people in the local area, we've got 500,000 people being served by the local hospital. And that is unsustainable. And I said that to the authority before in their previous consultation. There needs to be, you know, those essential infrastructure in the plan, like a hospital. They haven't put that forward, and I'd ask them to do that again. And proposals to build on green spaces, like in the Orchards or in Capstan Valley, on green spaces. We don't have much green spaces. To then do what they're trying to do now, I think it's shocking. It dismays me, and I want them to do the right thing and listen to what these residents have to say.
Why do you think they've changed their mind? Why do you think they've made this U-turn?
Well, I think it's an easy fix for them. You know, rather than going out and doing, the full and proper and thorough consultation, you know, looking at building on areas where you've got brownfield sites where you can have infrastructure. It's looking at the plan and saying, oh, yes, there's space over here, there's space over there, there's space over there. And they've done that. That's shocking. It's a poor quality decision making. And I would say they have a Labour central government, they have a Labour council. They've had ample time to do the right thing and to have those negotiations on the appropriate housing numbers, but they've just gone with a easy fix and just disregarded public opinion from before, disregarded judicial decision by the inspector before to build in the Orchards. And now, you know, it's the time they've given for this consultation is very small as well. So I'd say it's shocking. And as Mr. Filippone said, he's a resident who lives on the local Raynham Road. It's if this goes ahead, the impact on people's quality of life is going to be very detrimental, and I'd ask them to re-look at this and take into account the views of local residents.
Medway Council Leader Vince Maple said changed circumstances were behind the move. There are plans to turn empty office spaces in Folkestone into a house in multiple occupation. Developers want to transform the site above a dry cleaners in Sandgate Road into a 10-bed HMO spread over three floors. Residents have raised concerns about parking, rubbish and the potential impact on neighbouring properties. A consultation is running until the end of the month. Elsewhere, controversial schemes for 17 new homes in Wingham have been approved despite concerns over the installation of a new pedestrian crossing. The project off Godbury Hill attracted more than 250 objections but was recommended for approval by planning officers. Residents say the crossing would be obstructed by an overgrown hedge, making it a danger to both motorists and pedestrians. The developers say it will be regularly cut back.
Kent Online News.
The MP for Ashford has spoken in the Commons about the need to bring down waiting times at A&E departments. Sojan Joseph, who worked in the NHS for 20 years, says people are using emergency departments when there are no other community treatment options.
One of my first visit after being elected last year was to the A&E department at the William Harvey Hospital in my constituency, where there were 19 patients being treated in the corridors and long waits for others to receive treatment. I therefore welcome the progress that has been made so far on reducing A&E waiting times. But too many people end up at A&Es like the one at the William Harvey because they have no other option. What is the government doing to increase care options in local communities, including the use of virtual wards, so more people are treated closer to home and patients in A&E are those in an emergency?
This was the response from Health Secretary Wes Streeting.
My honourable friend is absolutely right. It's unacceptable that under the Conservatives, corridor care became a norm, and we will not accept it as normal or acceptable. Ahead of this winter, we'll require local NHS systems to develop and test plans to significantly increase the number of people receiving urgent care services outside of a hospital, including more paramedic-led care in the community, more patients seen by urgent community response teams, and better use of virtual wards. Together, we will improve our emergency services and make sure people get the right care in the right place at the right time.
Young people in Kent are calling for better political education in schools after proposals to lower the voting age to 16. The policy was announced last week and it's received mixed reaction from political parties. Chava is the vice chair of the Kent Youth County Council and Hayden is the chair. They've been speaking to Lucy.
My mind immediately went to how much political education we have in schools, because I feel that for the voting age to be lowered to such a young age, that we should at least be informed on the political state of our nation.
Yeah, I mean, what kind of education do you get in terms of politics, Chava?
At my school, we actually have a programme that happens in year eight where we learn, well, it's called citizenship, but we learn about the different political parties, who our local MP is, and how voting works and the voting systems that we have. But I'm not sure if that's available to everyone in the UK, which is why I was concerned.
Yeah, I mean, going back to my school days, I remember politics being an option you could maybe choose when you went on to sixth form, but perhaps not everyone has that sort of base level of knowledge on politics.
Mm. We have politics as an A-level at my school, but obviously by then they'd have been old enough to vote anyway once they'd finished their A-levels.
Yeah, I mean, just following on from that, Hayden, is that something you would agree with? And what was your experience in education of learning about politics?
Yeah, so I'm a politics A-level student, and I've been interested in politics for quite a while, but I know some of my friends, some of my peers don't have the same experience. They simply have the politics lessons that are provided to them through the PSHE curriculum. So I do think that politics education could be improved. However, I don't think, for me personally, that that's a barrier to vote at 16. I think that young people deserve to be empowered nevertheless, and it doesn't matter what age you are, you can either be really knowledgeable or maybe not so knowledgeable about politics. So I don't think intelligence and experience with politics doesn't have to be a barrier, but I do agree with Chavrin that we do need to raise the bar for political education. I mean, I spoke about this in the House of Commons, and the point I was making was that an educated vote is an empowered vote, and we need to empower young people to make the change they want to see. And the only way to do that really is political education. So I'm very happy about votes at 16, but I do think political education does need to be improved.
The government hope to have it in place by the next general election.
Kent Online News.
Bosses at Dartford's Orchard Theatre say their temporary home has been a success despite posting losses of more than £750,000. Performances were forced to relocate to Orchard West in December 2023 after rack concrete was discovered in the original building. A spokesperson said they've seen increased overheads in the last 12 months, but they're keeping the spirit and culture of the orchard alive. A rare collection of Stone Age axe heads have been found by a beachcomber in Kent. The amateur archaeologist found flint tools and weapons on the foreshore between Herne Bay and Reculver between 1987 and 2013. They're going up for auction next month and are expected to fetch tens of thousands of pounds. There are calls for the River Medway to be given rights to help protect it from pollution. An event's taking place in Maidstone to coincide with a Source to Sea pilgrimage where campaigners are spending 9 days walking the entire length of the river. Stuart Jeffrey is the Green Party leader of Maidstone Council. He's been chatting to Lucy.
The walk will come start at Yalding and walk people will be walking through to Aylesford, taking in the atmosphere of the river, celebrating the river as they go. And then there's a stop at Aylesford. And then the following day, we're going to have a little mini conference and be discussing the rights of the river. And this movement of the rights of rivers is a global movement, recognising that rivers are ecosystems and need their own system of protection, and one of those ways of protecting rivers is by giving them rights.
What kind of issues are there with the River Medway, and you know, why does it need protection?
Well, we've just seen the news last week about the record number of sewage spills, for example. The serious sewage spills are up 60% compared to the year before. And a lot of those spills are from Southern Water, and a lot of them will be going into the Medway and its tributaries. So we have a really polluted river. We have one of the most nature-depleted countries in the world. And rivers are the source of life for all of us, both humans and the wider natural world. So protecting them is fundamental to life itself.
Yeah, and of course the River Medway is one of the major rivers running through Kent. I mean, a lot of people will live on or near the River Medway. Do you think enough people kind of appreciate it and how important it is and why it does need that protection?
So the River Medway is the largest river basin in the southeast outside of London and the Thames. It is a truly huge basin, and I think people have many people have moved away from that sort of visceral connection with the natural world, and so anything we can do to get people really a bit more in tune with the wider world around them, I think it is a positive thing. It helps people sort of think before they act when it comes to you know, throwing rubbish away, for example. I'm living on the banks of the Medway at the moment, and you know, I see the rubbish floating past. I mean, it is quite horrendous. So anything we can do to gain increase people's understanding and feeling towards that river is really, really important to us.
Kent Online Sports.
Football Now and Gillingham have lost to Ebbsfleet United in their latest pre-season friendly. Last night's game ended 2-1 with plenty of goal chances for the Gills. Manager Gareth Ainsworth told us how he felt after the match.
Really happy because listen, we've got to take our chances. We know that, we're working on it. We know we've come to this club and everyone's saying, oh, for the past so many years, we haven't had a goal scorer. We will score goals. We've created so many chances tonight. I think we've hit the bar twice. We've had two open goals and missed them. we have pressed really well tonight. We have created lots of chances, lots of opportunities. I'm very impressed tonight. We're coming away with a defeat, and I understand that. You know, I think that there's a penalty for us in the first half. There's two handballs with the keepers diving out of the box. But listen, it's pre-season. The results, I've always said, if this was a 6-2 win, like probably it could have been, I wouldn't be saying, no, it's great, we're going into season great. Sometimes it's nice. It's nice to have that on your toes, you know. You've been beat again. It's on your toes, get ready for this, you know. We mixed the teams up today, and I thought everyone was good. I thought Josh Andrews has had his best game for me, without a shadow of a doubt. Seb shows what he's got again. Joe Bode scored a fantastic goal, you know. And we're going to be a threat. There's still some things to work on that we will work on. We're going into individuals now rather than team shape and team performance, because I thought that was very good. The amount of second balls we landed on, the amount of forward play we had, very pleased, and looking forward to the next game on Friday. There's going to be some players playing with a young group, and the next first team game is obviously the game against Dartford on Saturday. We're going to have a good go at them, but it all counts on the 2nd of August. That's when it counts. Don't worry about anything. I've been in teams that haven't won in pre-season and we were top of the league after 7 games. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but pre-season doesn't mean a great deal. Fitness, no injuries, again, brilliant. But I've seen what the frustrations of the Gillingham fans have been for a few years. We're going to work on hitting the target. You know, I don't believe there's a thing called confidence. I believe that if you practice enough, confidence goes out the window. You're just solid at what you do. That's what confidence is, making sure you practice correctly. And we'll be doing that. Dobbo's a master of the finishing drills, and we will get better. But yeah, really pleased today. Some standout performances, you know, really was. And looking forward to Thursday, Friday, and then Dartford Saturday. And away we go.
The League Two season gets underway in less than 2 weeks' time. To tennis, and Cairns' Emma Raducanu is into the last 16 of the Washington Open. She beat Ukraine's Marta Kostyuk in straight sets last night and will face Japan's Naomi Osaka in her next match tomorrow. The 22-year-old from Orpington is also due to play in the quarterfinals of the doubles tournament. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Blue Sky. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Kate Faulkner, all one word, at the checkout, you get £30 off the price of an annual subscription.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.